Welcome to the podcast. I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And I'm designer Dave Say.
And welcome back. We actually missed the last one due to a illness.
Yeah, you had the ick.
I had death. I had chest congestion, death of doom.
Couldn't breathe, couldn't talk.
And every time I breathed, I coughed. It was horrible. Especially when you like lay down, try to go to sleep at night, and you're just sitting there, and it's like you're laying down, and you're just like, and then you start, and you can't stop.
Yeah. Does the cats stay away from you?
No, they get concerned.
Really?
Yeah.
How do they show
our
concern?
Cats know when we're sick.
Oh, yeah.
And usually they just smother us. Like, Gromit, my little fatty, she was, like, every night she was climbing on she, like, sleeps right on my head, and then she rests her head on top of my head while I'm sleeping.
Hmm.
And they give a little extra attention because they just know when you're feeling kind of gross.
Oh, that's interesting. My sister's cat takes advantage of the situation.
What?
My sister said she was sick once, and she had this piece of toast, and she was too weak to, like, actually eat it, and the cat came and stole it from her because she couldn't take it back. and then I heard recently that I think her boyfriend was sick, and then the cat threw up on his Xbox controller, and it stopped working.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I guess I'm fairly lucky.
I love it when cats throw up.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's February 3rd. It's the
welcome to February
of Chinese New Year, Year of the Rabbit, which is, I understand, is your year. Sid.
1975 represent. Woo! Year of the Hare.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't know what any of that means.
No, neither do I, actually. I believe, well, it's the Chinese zodiac. There's those 12 animals. But today is traditionally a day, this is kind of like the big Christmas dinner day. It's like the most important holiday in Chinese culture.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 7 days, like, or up to 15 days of celebration. Although officially, I think the governments only do the first like 3 or 4 days past the weekend.
Yeah.
And then it culminates in the Lantern Festival 15 days from now, which is another one of those mysterious Chinese holidays that I never really learned about. But there's lots of eating, and there's red envelopes, lucky money.
So
I'm too old to get lucky money now. I'm supposed to be giving lucky money, but fortunately, I don't have kids to give them to, so I'm off the hook.
Well, you need to hurry up and go there and get some kids.
Do I know any Asian? Oh, I know Kenta. He's Asian.
Oh, yeah, he is.
But yeah, he's Japanese, right? So I don't think I'm not sure if they celebrate in the same way.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And there's a traditional fish dinner. So you have to have a whole fish because it's auspicious, and you eat like steamed dumplings because they look like little gold ingots, the Chinese style gold ingots. And there's all this symbolism in it. It's awesome. I should give my sister a call and see what she's doing down there and where she is.
Nice.
Yeah. So what else is going on?
Nothing. I've been getting over this cold.
Yeah.
And it's like the first time I went to the doctor for the first time in like. I think the last time I was, I don't even know, like 20 something years. Like,
are you
I'm
kidding?
Like,
20 years?
No, I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why. And so, and I just, and I'm like my dad. Like, the first time my dad went in like 3 decades, he went last year, the year before. I don't know. He went recently. And of course, the first thing, like, he goes to the doctor for a checkup. The first thing they find, they're like, oh, dude, you got prostate cancer. You know, and he was like, this is why I'm not going. So they zap him full of radiation. And then right after that, like, he skipped a month after the radiation was done. And then he went back. And that was when he was like, oh, and by the way, he's like, you know, when I walk the dog, I get this pain in my chest. And they jumped right on that. And he had to have like it was a bypass, and he had 3 valves replaced, and like they chopped his chest open, and then
yikes.
And he's like, I hate going to the doctor. He's like, this is why I didn't want to go to the doctors, because I knew that they would be like, you're dead, like you're literally a zombie, and we need to.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
And I just didn't want to, and I haven't been, and I know I have all kinds of crazy problems with me, but we went specifically for the cough, and so
really?
He was like, do you want me to do a checkup? And I'm like, no, I'll wait for the next visit, and because I got all kinds of crazy problems with me and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I should schedule a physical. I've been paying off. And I'm paying for my own like stupid health insurance, so I might as well get some value out of it.
Yeah, you pay a lot.
It's like a 200. It's actually close to 300. When I turned 40, it went up, so it's like $300 a month.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, but I have a high deductible. It's basically in case something really bad happens.
Yeah.
But I usually don't like go to the doctor for colds and things like that because they just tell me the same stuff. Take this and come back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, that was what they did. I went and they were like, well, it doesn't, you know, he like he stuck the little thing and he listened to my lungs and everything. He's like, well, it doesn't sound like there's anything built up or congested. He's like, just take this cough medicine with codeine. And I'm like, really? And so I did that for a week and I was like home straight for the week. And at the end of the week, nothing had improved. So I called him back and I'm like, you got to give me something. And so she was like, okay, we'll give you this. They gave me an antibiotic.
Yeah, and they stepped it up a level.
Yeah. And then I've been taking that. And it was like the first day after I started taking that, like it gave me another cold. Like it gave me this head cold. So like I woke up Saturday morning and I was just like, my chest was destroyed. And then my head was just all, I was just like,
yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, doctors.
Yeah. I'm not always convinced that their diagnostic technique is really anything special,
right?
Until you get to a certain level, because you're not even dealing with doctors. I think on the initial visit, you're dealing with their medical technician.
Well, when we went in, it was his nurse, and she did you know, like he came in, like she takes your weight and she does all that stuff. And she goes through everything, and then like he walks in and he asks like three questions, and then he's like, okay, here you go.
Yeah,
it's like really.
Yeah, last time I was there, I didn't even see the doctor. It was their I guess the first line of diagnosticians. There's something between a nurse and a doctor they have now that the medical schools are, or the medical technician schools are turning out, and they're kind of like the first diagnostic line. And so they make sure you're not dying. Right. And then they figure, well, you probably have one of these things, and then they figure it's not going to kill you if they try.
It's so cheesy.
Yeah. You know? So.
But I haven't been. I don't have insurance. That was the main reason why I don't go to the doctors. I can't afford it.
Yeah.
But I had. Sarah's just like, dude, you have to go. She's like, you haven't been. And I haven't. And I seem to get this like really bad cough every year. Mm. And I knew like in 2006 or 2007, I'm pretty sure I had like a really bad case of bronchitis.
Yep.
Like it just sounded like my lungs were literally falling out of my mouth.
And that's what I had a few weeks before you did.
Yeah.
It lasted a long time for me, probably because I didn't get the antibiotics and just suffered
through it. Yeah, and that's what I've done every year is I suffer through it. And Sarah used to think that. She's like, I think she thought that I had developed asthma because of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was just, it always sounded like my lungs were clogged up. But the doctor said there's nothing wrong with it.
Be cat hair.
You could yell at cat hair.
Cat hair. Maybe that's why she sleeps on your head, because you vacuum up all the dander.
She's like, you smell like a cat. So that was just January. It was just literally just, you know, it was awesome though, because like I was, even though I was sick and dying, I got to just like stay in the house for like 2 weeks and do nothing but watch Law and Order SVU. It was amazing. my dad, you know, he found out that I really like the show, so like he's been buying used season sets on eBay.
Oh, that's nice.
So yeah, so I went over right before like I decided to stay home for that 2 weeks. I went over and he's like here's like a late Christmas present. He's like, I bought seasons 3, 4, and 5. And I'm like, yes. So I'm still like plowing through season 3, but really? It's been awesome because it's just been like anytime I want some Detective Stabler, he's right there. Little him and iced tea and awesome.
I guess I need to check this out sometime just to see what you're talking about.
Oh, it's bad, but it's good. I don't know why. It started because it was like I'd go over to my parents to do laundry on Sunday nights. And USA is basically the 24-hour Law & Order channel. And if they weren't showing Law & Order, they were showing Law & Order Critical Intent. And if they weren't showing those two, they were showing Law & Order Special Victims. So it was like, and it would always jump between the three, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, out of all of them, I'm like, SVU is the one because you got, you know, just the actors in it and everything.
Hmm.
And it's so episodic. I mean, it's like, you know, like every episode's exactly the same. Like you can almost count count the minutes on like however. But it's just good. It's just good. It's good. I love
it's
it.
It's just you. You ever thought about becoming a detective?
No.
No, never. You just like watching them on TV. What's the best part about it? Do you like them to see them throw the bad guys in jail?
I used to like it. I don't know if it's still this way. I haven't watched like the last couple of seasons, but one of the things that was really cool was what they would do is they would pick up actual stories that were going on in the news. And then they would sort of do slightly, you know, like off or based on this news story.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like slightly relevant stuff.
Yep.
I don't know if that's the case anymore. I mean, I think I got season 11 and I watched a couple from that.
Season 11?
Yeah. They're in the 12th season right now. And it seemed very, it just seemed very not like the earlier stuff. It seemed like they were making an effort to try to relate it to current stuff. And then another thing too is like as it gets, you know, it's 11 seasons now, and now they have all these guest stars that play like the guest villains and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's always kind of cheesy, kind of like dumb stuff. You know, as long as they can write it around Jeremy Irons or, you know, whoever's the guest of the week.
Jeremy Irons, he's still around?
Jeremy, yes, he is.
Yeah.
With his nasally monotone thing.
Yeah.
But not like Christopher Walken's nasally kind of
no
thing.
No.
We had a Christopher Walken movie week.
Did you?
Yeah, we watched Biloxi Blues and King of New York, and there's something else I can't remember. So we had like a, we just watched like three movies in a row. We just watched Christopher Walken movies.
Nice.
It was crazy. It was nonstop. It was Christopher Walken everywhere. All Christopher Walken all the time. More Christopher Walken than you can throw a stick at.
Sorry. That's all right. So for me, it's been, it's kind of a new gear week.
Oh,
I've been buying all this stuff lately.
What have you been buying?
Well, I bought this new microphone that I'm using.
Oh, and, that's right. The yep. fancy microphone.
And it's on a fancy microphone arm. Because like, I've arm-related technology has been fascinating me for the past couple years. When I got those monitor arms, it changed the way I looked at my workspace. And so I saw this thing. So, well, we do need to get another microphone stand. Might as well get one I like.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
It's nice, too. It's like on this cool... Like, his whole side of the desk over here is all swing arm stuff. Like, he's got his laptop swing arm, and now he's got his microphone swing arm. And it looks like there's an Android over there. It's like, it's, you know, that, remember that, that medical droid from Star Wars that had all the different arms? That's what that side of the desk is turning into. I was thinking
about the one at the beginning of Empire. Does that one go...
Yes. The one that's fixing Luke. Oh, no.
No, the one in the beginning, the probe.
Yes, the probe droid.
There's a lot of probes in it. Then there's that one, that there's the tortured one. Is that the same as the medical drone?
The torture one?
Yeah, remember they're on Hoth. Yep. Oh, not on Hoth. They're in Bespin
when they're freezing.
Yep. And then like Leia is tortured by some sinister looking thing floats in behind Darth Vader.
That's right.
And then it's implied that terrible, terrible things happen.
With the big needle. That was in the first one.
That's this side of the desk.
Yes, a little black thing and it comes in. It's like, you see the needle getting closer and closer and she's like, oh, and then the door's like,
yeah.
You see the feet. All right, sorry. Let's break down that scene step by step.
It's the best Star Wars.
Yep. Yeah. Which one? Yeah. New Hope?
No. Empire.
Empire is.
Yeah, Empire is the best.
Sorry.
My favorite.
We just had our nerd out moment there.
Yeah, well, that's what you get.
Yep. So you got this microphone thing.
Got this microphone. I also bought some new backup gear. I got a USB 3.0 SATA dock for hard drives. So the idea behind this is you can buy like a 1 terabyte drive for like $40, $49.
What?
And you just sort of slot it in this thing like a toaster, and it plugs into your computer, and you do your transfers.
Now, okay.
I don't have a USB 3 interface because it's really new, but it actually runs USB 2.0 stuff much faster.
Huh.
It's more efficient, let's say. So I was backing up my workstation / server at home and backing up the laptop, and it's great. And so now, and I also got, this is the main reason, they make these reproduction Betamax cases for holding the hard drive. They're just the right size. So this company called Hudzy makes these things, and they come in different colors. So I got mine from ThinkGeek. And so then you can, after you take the hard drive, which is bare, it's not in a case or anything like that, you stick it in the case and you label it and you put it on your shelf.
Nice.
And it's awesome. So like I get a bunch of these, when you basically 1 terabyte hard drives, I use them for backup.
Huh.
And just shelve them. Or like.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So it's, and it ends up working out. So I'm future-proofed because it's USB 3. USB 3 has a theoretical 5 gigabytes per second transfer rate. And nothing gets close to it, but you know, faster backup. That's what we're after here.
Wow.
Yep.
That's cool.
We have a visitor. Who is it? Is it Martin?
Hi there.
Nope.
Absolutely. Yep. Is this weekend again? Yes. Yeah, it's been filling up about once a day.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's so
close to the landlord just came in to check the status of the heater.
Had a little
heater.
Bit of a heater issue going on right now.
Yeah. Downstairs, I apparently got a little bit of water over
there. Yeah, it's been leaking some water.
Yep.
I've got a big round bowl. It's been filling up like once a day. I came in this morning. And it was just over the top. There was water everywhere. And I was like, oh. And the person downstairs, who I guess has a desk right about that area, was not very happy.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
But
so then the backup. So I have some audio gear. So I backed up everything. I feel good. And I have like a backup system now in place.
Good.
And it's cheap. I don't have to buy these external drives for like $150. I can just buy bare drives for like $40 and then just have a whole bunch of them. So that works out well.
Yeah.
And then there's this microphone. What is this? This is an Audio Technica 2035 large.
It's a pretty fancy looking microphone.
It's not that expensive either. I mean, microphones can get up like $1,000.
You know,
That other one I used to use, which we're trying to use for Sid, but we don't have the right cable for it now. That's about $200 if you buy it.
Wow.
Straight. This one was $90.
That's not bad.
Yeah. So It's
not as cheap as my awesome $2.99 realistic right here.
I know. You really, like, as far as like the king of deals goes, like, I think you're still winning. So I feel pretty good about that. Now, what else did I get?
Spending stuff like crazy.
Yeah, well, I got a little bit of Christmas money. So
Now, remember, you got to leave enough so that you can get your Xbox.
Yeah, yeah. Because when's that coming? PAX coming
PAX
up.
PAX is coming up in March.
When is it? March?
March 11th through the 13th.
Oh, yep, yep.
Yep.
And
our buddy Miles, who's going.
We're all going to PAX. Ian and Kelly are going to PAX. Yep.
Nice.
At our board meeting last Sunday, like someone was asking, one of the other guys there was asking if we had any vacation time planned. I said, I'm going to PAX. And then Kelly just started laughing. I said, we're going to go there too. We're going to skip South by Southwest this year and just go.
It sounds kind of religious, doesn't it?
What's that?
Like PAX.
It does sound.
It
PAX.
Sounds
like
very.
PAX
I'm going
Imperia.
To the.
PAX
yeah,
Roma.
I'm going to PAX East this weekend to see the Pope.
Yeah,
but no, it's actually it's. I'm getting kind of excited.
Yeah,
which is kind of nice.
Good.
I got really jaded. Like the reason why I stopped going to E3 was I just got so jaded by it.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you know, I think it was like 10 years. And it was like you go out and it's 3 days of complete excess. Like there's just so much stuff going on. Mm. But like the amount of actually really good playable games that would be out there was really small.
Yeah.
And it was like you can only play that so many times. And then it just got so crazy because it was like, you know, okay, so I'm standing in line for 3 hours to play 30 seconds of, you know, something. And it's like,
I would just wander around and look at what was new and see
right.
what everyone was
and
doing.
Usually I'd
and
cover
that could
it.
Take 3 days.
It for me, like usually like a day and a half.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, and then I was like, okay, I'm kind of done.
Well, I would
like by day three,
the little dinky hall that has.
Well, that was day two. We covered day one. You hit the main terminal. You hit Capcom. You hit Nintendo. You hit Sony. You hit Microsoft.
Yeah.
You know, you hit the third party publishers, and then usually on day two, you're like, let's go down to the East Concourse and see what all those dudes are doing. Those are usually the ones that are like, you know, they get so happy when they see people coming into the room, and they're the ones that always spend all the extra money on like Maxim models and stuff so that you'll get down there, and you know, like they'll have women try to like grab at you and stuff.
Yeah, then they have the country exhibition ones too. I remember like one of the years I went, they had the Scotland Games Council or something like that was there, and then there was the Korean one, you know. So
yeah, we went with our buddy Ralph one year. We were playing this game called Come On Baby, and it was like this Baby Olympics stand up arcade thing. But I just remember like some Korean television thing came over and recorded him while he was playing it, and he was just like, "I'm on Korean TV." He's like, "I'm playing Come On Baby." I still have the little flyer from that.
That's awesome.
But I just got sick of it. I was just like, by the ninth year, I was just like, this is, you know.
You went for 9 years?
I went for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. I started going when it was in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And we drove.
That's the first time I went.
Yeah. And we drove to that one. That was cool because we could actually drive there.
Yeah.
And I hate LA. It's just such a pit. It's just disgusting and it's smoggy and it's just gross and you know, nothing against anybody that lives out there, but god, it's just it's nasty.
They're laughing at us though now with all the snow.
Exactly. They're like, Lou's talking to you, we're all trapped on Hoth right now trying to like dig our way out.
But you know what I was thinking about it, like, it's actually not a bad area. Snow versus earthquakes and forest fires,
exactly,
and
mudslides, typhoons,
smog,
floods,
highway.
No.
Yeah.
We got it pretty good. Yeah. You know, we bitch about snow, but
we generally know how to take care of snow.
Yeah.
It's snow.
Snow. You just shovel it.
You shovel, you plow it out of the
push
way.
It out of
you're
the way.
It's cold, sure, you know, but can't really plan for an earthquake.
Yeah.
Or a typhoon. Or rattlesnakes.
Exactly. Yes.
Scorpions. We don't have scorpions.
Killer piranha.
Killer piranhas.
Yeah. All those horrible B movies that you see. But so I'm excited. Like I got burnt out, and I think I've been away from it long enough now that I'm kind of like, all right, I think I'm ready to get back there and get excited again, and hear the loud music and see all the crazy flashing lights, and you know, maybe get in line and play some Marvel Capcom 3 or something like that, or
yep,
be kind of cool. So I'm excited. I'm very excited for it.
So I need to get an Xbox because I don't have any modern consoles.
You gotta get you an Xbox
because I won't know how to play any of these darn games. I'm going to suck at them. I'm going to, you know what? I am going to play as my age. That's terrible.
You're going
to
play.
Oh, look. Grandpa over there is trying to play again. He looks like he hasn't used a thumb controller before.
What does this do?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I can't aim.
That's okay because they have like Xbox Arcade. So you can download those games you played, you know, when you were young.
Yeah.
From a long time ago.
Yeah.
A long, long time ago.
Those games suck. No.
So, don't worry. I got a bunch of Xbox games that you can borrow and you can try out.
We'll see. Stuff like that. I at least need to be competitive or know my way around a few of them.
Yeah.
So, I would guess that's Halo.
You got to get Halo.
You know, I really don't like Halo.
What?
Because it has the Bungie style controls, and I never liked the Bungie style controls.
Really?
I suppose you can change them now. Yeah. But you remember when it came out, those Marathon, and then there was like Doom.
Yep.
And they had kind of different philosophies about movement.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Doom was about flying around as fast as possible, shooting things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Because there was always
Marathon was about plodding around and bobbing up and down.
Yes.
And I don't know if Halo still seems to have a little bit of that feel.
The characters are they move fairly like compared to Quake. They move slow. Yeah. And the interesting thing about Halo 2 is that you only have two weapons. You can only have two weapons on you at one time.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's a strategy of what weapon do you leave behind, what weapon do you drop. Weapon strategy.
Yeah.
But it's like when we used to play online, it was either played Quake or you played Unreal Tournament. Yeah. And Unreal Tournament was kind of slower, and Quake was just a madhouse.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. Quake 3 Arena. You can play that online now. They have a browser plug-in for it.
Yeah, PC only.
It's still only PC? Yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah, but they just released it Xbox Live. You can download it.
Really? Okay. Yeah, would suck with it, though, with the thumb controllers.
Thumb controllers.
Yeah.
I used to play that on my Dreamcast. I used to go online. Whatever they had modem at the time.
Yeah.
It was like a 56K modem.
Yeah, so I gotta get my thumb coordination up to speed. I suppose I should like get refamiliarized with Street Fighter controls too and stuff.
Yeah, they make old Sega Saturn style control pads, like 3x3 button layouts.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They're okay. They're not ASCII makes them. I bought one for Street Fighter 4 when it came out, and I just haven't played enough Street Fighter 4. But it had a nice kind of flow too. It was better than you know using these crazy layouts that the Xbox controllers have.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you eventually get used to them.
Yeah.
But it's because you have there's the four buttons and you have like the two sets of shoulder buttons.
On what? Yeah, on the Xbox. Yeah, you get
it's pretty standard now.
Yeah, you've got like the bumpers and then you have the triggers.
Yeah.
And then you've got it's crazy. There's like too many buttons on here. it's overwhelming. But there's a bunch of good games, and I just like. What's the one I'm getting it in a trade? I'm getting Assassin's Creed.
Oh, really?
The new one, Brotherhood. I guess that's the third one. I've never played the original two, but I got the latest Call of Duty for Christmas, the Black Ops game.
Oh, how is it?
I think I've had enough of Call of Duty. Like, I think I made it through halfway through, and I'm like, another thing, too, is that it's not the same. Like, I like the guys that did Call of Duty, the original one, and like Call of Duty 4.
Oh, yeah.
Like the actual Activision team.
Oh, right.
Those guys are good.
They split, right?
Yeah. Well, no, they gave, like, every other game, this company called Treyarch does it. Uh-huh. And Treyarch seems like anytime a game comes out for the Mac, it's always ported by Treyarch.
Oh, yeah.
And it just feels like they're trying to replicate the other development team, but they don't do it as well.
Hmm.
And so every other game that's been coming out, it's like.
Oh, okay. I think I was thinking of Medal of Honor. Remember when the first World War II shooter came out?
Yeah, it was Medal of Honor, Allied
Assault.
And then,
like, the team split, and I think they formed the Call of Duty.
Oh, did
team.
They? Okay.
I think
they
it was something like that.
Yeah, because Allied Assault was really good, and then they started releasing these expansion packs, because I used to play it on the PC,
yeah.
And it just started feeling like it wasn't getting any better. It was just, you know, and then Call of Duty came out, the first one, and that was awesome, because it was all, like, you'd scripted partners with you and everything. And
that was cool.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So I think they did one. And then this Treyarch place. No, they did one and two, and then they gave it over to Treyarch, and they did three, which sucked. And then they did four, which was Modern Warfare, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
And then
I haven't played any of those.
Then Treyarch did World at War, which was another World War II one. And it just feels like you're playing it, and you're like, man, these guys totally wish that they were the other development team. So this one was done by, and I don't know, I just couldn't get into it. I think I've had enough of Call of Duty.
Seemed like, a little derivative.
Yeah, really yeah. There was nothing really new. So, so some guy was like, "Oh, I'll trade you whatever this new." And I and it looks because the guys that made this Assassin's Creed game, a couple of years ago, they made a Prince of Persia game.
Oh, really?
And it was awesome. It's the first game in a long time where I actually played 100% of it. Like, I got 100% everything. Like, there's all these little nodules you're supposed to collect, and it was cool because it wasn't like. It was they were trying to push it in a new direction, and all the environments that you were in were suspended above nothing. Like all these environments were floating in the air. And so the whole game was like you grabbing onto walls and going off of beams and stuff and jumping. Mm-hmm. It was really, really well done.
Like 3D Strider.
It was kind of like a 3D Strider. And and after a while, what would happen was you would just get into it so much that it would just kind of, it would have this really nice fluid motion of you just going from like board to wall to like you'd run along the walls. And you had this cool like metal gauntlet that like it would grab the wall and that was how you kind of held on to stuff. And the team that did these Assassin's Creed games had done that Prince of Persia game. And I was like, oh, because, and I really like, it just looks nice. It was really lush and the character was very fluid.
I think I saw like a cinematic trailer for Assassin's Creed for the new one. It doesn't have some sort of like new rendering technology that we're working on.
I'm not sure. It looks like just watching the video, it looks very similar. Like you climb up the sides of buildings and stuff, and then you can like it's all about like sneaking at people and like killing people and so it looks kind of cool. But so I got that coming in a trade.
That's cool.
But and then what? Else? And then Marvel versus Capcom 3 comes out.
So does it make a difference where you go buy an Xbox?
Go
to Best Buy.
Best Buy.
There's no deals to be had.
And don't fall for their, you know, would you like our extended 2-year service agreement for $79.99?
No. So I just want the mini, what's it, the slim Xbox?
They came out with a slimmer version. Yeah. It has a built-in Wi-Fi on the back.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. But other than that, I don't know anything about laggy. Laggy.
It
works good. I just traded something for like the Wi-Fi edition thing, so I don't have to plug the Xbox in the back of the router, and the Wi-Fi works perfect.
Does it?
Yeah, okay. I'm really impressed with it.
All right, yeah.
Sounds like cool.
Yeah, but, we just got a couple minutes left.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, we're just getting warmed up. We could do an extended one.
It's true. We can keep going. And
Let me take a break and adjust this just for a second.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Plus 30 minutes.
All right, bathroom break.
And we're back.
Yeah, it was a good bathroom break.
Yeah. Gave ourselves another 15 minutes here.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't even know where we left off. We were talking about
games and stuff.
So, I'm very excited about PAX coming up. That'll be kind of cool.
So, I just need to go to the slim Xbox thing at some point, and I should be set. Which would be good, too, because I may be doing some more 3D development stuff. So having the Xbox would actually be handy because I could get the Creators Club thing for it's like $99 a year or something like that, and I can actually like port the code from the PC over to the Xbox and play on that.
Oh, okay.
So I had to get back into the 3D stuff potentially for an upcoming interactive gig.
Nice.
So that'll be nice. So getting back into that's another piece of gear I got. I got upgraded my compiler, so now I've got Visual Studio 2010, and that means I can use XNA 4.0. Which I don't think has all that many different things, but slightly improved development environment, another excuse to play with 3D graphics.
Yeah.
And make some cool stuff. And with the Creators Club stuff, I could potentially, which I probably won't do, but I could make games and I could put them on the Xbox Live Arcade.
There you go.
Yeah, that might be fun, even if it was just like something silly. You know.
Well, look at that. The current hot thing is was it Super Meat Boy?
Super Meat Boy.
Yeah, and it's literally it's like this really hard platformy puzzly game. Yeah. And it's just your character is this little tiny like meatball, and like when he moves, he leaves all this kind of gross meat stuff behind him. Everybody's been yelling about how awesome that is.
Really? Huh? Yeah. So I'm like really behind on what's new and what's cool like in games these days. So this would be a good excuse to get back into it, see what's going on.
Yeah.
Download demos and like kind of upgrade my sense of where graphics are at. I've been sort of out of it for the past couple of years. And actually more than that probably. So, yep. That's cool. Exciting.
Cool.
Yeah.
And what else have you been spending?
I've been spending a lot of time thinking about what I'm going to do this year. And, you know, yeah, that's on February 2nd, Groundhog's Day. That's when I started my Groundhog Day resolutions. So the idea behind that is, because when January 1st rolls around, I'm in no state of mind to actually plan anything.
Right.
You're recovering from holidays, and there's stuff you're catching up on, there's stuff you got to get started. It's around February, I found, that I'm about ready to think about it.
Yeah.
So February 2nd, because I thought it was an undersung holiday. And plus, it sets up this cool pattern. So now I set up the resolutions on the 2nd of February, and then I review them on the 3rd of March, and the 4th of April, and the 5th of May, and the 6th of June. So it's like 2-2-3-3-4-4-5-5-6-6.
Nice.
So they're easy days to remember. And I just review what progress I've made on them. But I actually haven't gotten around to figuring out exactly what the doable resolutions are for this year.
Huh.
Last year was, what was the last? Last year was being part of things that were bigger than myself, you know, which well, this podcast is a good example of that, just doing stuff like this. Holding lights for you at your workshops, that's always fun. You know, just being involved with things, you know, that's been good. And then the other part of it has been trying to figure out a way to create self-sustaining income. You know, so that's the paper products, the pads and things like that.
Yep.
And so this year, I think it's more of that. But it's also reintegrating all the writing that I've been doing on the blog into to shape it more. And I'm not sure exactly what that means.
Hmm.
You know, I think basically what it comes down to, if you're making cool stuff and you're sharing it, that's the fundamental.
Yeah.
Fundamental mechanism that helps build success.
Yes.
And the cooler it is, the better it is. So, but at the same time, you can't get target fixated on, I must post stuff on the blog. And if it's just if it's just regular junk, you know, then it keeps things going, but it doesn't really move you forward.
Yeah.
Doesn't raise your game. So, you know, those are the things that are on my mind right now.
Do you feel it's important to have some, like, to post something every single day?
I don't think it's as important. I try to get something going. Every day would be ideal. There was a time when I was posting like 2 or 3 times a day.
Yeah,
it'd be cool stuff. Oh, that's more stuff than I'm getting, like because I ordered those cowboy triggers. Because what's been holding me back from posting a lot of these photos is like I've been very dissatisfied since meeting you with my own photography. So it's like I need better lighting. It's always been an issue. But now that I know it can be much better.
Yeah.
So like now I got that cheap.
Did they come in yet?
They should come in today or tomorrow.
I haven't used them. They there's a whole line called the cowboy cowboy something, cowboy series or cowboy.
They're super cheap.
Super cheap. And this guy John, who helped me organize the workshop I did up in Exeter, like he was just singing the praises of the whole workshop. He was just talking about how, and he had a whole bunch of their stuff, and it seemed it was a crazy, like he was spending, it was like no money at all. Like he was like, the triggers were like $25 or $30.
Yeah.
And he says they're pretty reliable, and he had bought this little soft box that like folds up, and I think he said he paid like $24 for that or stuff. Like he had this whole kit put together and it cost him like $150.
There was this, I bought two things. One was the trigger receiver kit, and it was literally, it was like $25 or $26.
Yeah.
Something like that. You know, for both of them, if you wanted to get an additional receiver, it's the same price actually.
It doesn't really? Too.
But you know, it's pretty cheap.
Cowboy then, Studio, that's the name.
Yeah, and so they sell on Amazon too.
They have
a storefront there. And then I got one of their cheap lighting kits because when I was asking you about it the other day, I said, just get some cheap light stand and cheap umbrella and like play with it and like learn.
Yeah. So the kit, what's it come with, like a light stand and an umbrella?
It comes with a light stand, an umbrella, and some sort of umbrella bracket
thing. Okay, good.
Although I was eyeing those Bogan ones because they just looked cool.
Yeah. Those are the best. They're all metal just about.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just have a really like nice girth to them that like they're not kidding around.
On the last museum project I was working on, we actually got some of the Bogan some kind of bracket that we needed to mount these cameras.
Yeah.
So we went to a photo store and looked at what they had and got some sort of Bogan Manfrotto bendy something, but it was just awesome. We just kept playing with it because it just felt good. And one of the cameras up there, we had no fear of it ever coming down.
Yeah,
and it was like this is a nice little piece of metal here.
Yeah, Bogan Manfrotto, they have really nice equipment.
Yeah,
it just feels really
So back when I was posting more often, I would take a lot of pictures of stuff that I just had around the house, and I'd just talk a little bit about it. But lately, you know, I just haven't been happy with any of the pictures I've been taking. Yeah, back then I think I was shooting with a Canon G2 or something like that.
Now you have a 50D, right?
I have a 40D.
40D.
40D, and I know it can be better.
But you like that camera though, right?
I like the camera. It's just that my lighting sucks. Before I used to have these two halogen lamps on my desk at home.
Yep.
One of them broke a while ago, so I just have one. So I have a single source of light, and it's halogen, and it's harsh, and it doesn't put enough light to really bounce off things. I just shoot at high ISO, and it just makes me unhappy. So I'm hoping that this umbrella strobe thing, that I've learned much from your feet, oh master, about how to think about the lighting and approach the process.
Yeah,
they'll help like boost the tabletop stuff that I've been looking to do.
Yeah.
Before, I was looking at expensive continuous lighting, and I just couldn't like justify, you know, spending $300 or $400 for like a pair of these things, and not being sure if they really would work.
Yeah.
And no one could really explain to me how the strobe lighting worked. You know, so until I met you. Mm-hmm. And so now it's like, oh, okay, this makes a lot more sense now.
Hmm.
That workshop was really helpful, especially, you know, with the whole light pulse thing and adjusting the aperture and all those things.
You want to just control that.
Seeing which aspects controlled what elements of the lighting.
Yeah.
That was very clarifying. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Are you going to be offering the same kind of workshops this year, or?
I think so. There's been a lot of people.
Anything?
Yeah, not that I can think of. But there's been a lot. I've got a lot of emails about people that have been asking to sort of let them know when I come up with new dates. I need to sit down. I'm still in, like, it still doesn't feel like it's 2011 yet. So I just haven't sat down and tried to map all that stuff out yet.
Not only is it 2011, it's also the year of the rabbit.
It's also the year of the rabbit.
Not the year of the turtle.
So no, I think. I mean, it seems like there are people that are still emailing, you know, about this particular workshop. So
yeah.
I think I'll just do that. I haven't really. I don't know. I get nervous that I don't want to spend so much time on the workshops that actual shooting and clients take a backseat.
Yeah.
So and I like this. I like this because it gets me out there shooting as well. So it's not just me lecturing the whole time.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, some people have asked if I've got anything else that I've been thinking about. I've sort of been thinking about it, but I just need to figure out a way that it will get to the point where it's more shooting than it is standing there and lecturing or telling people how to do things.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
So we'll see. But I need to start. I mean, I will do dates for the portable workshop this year. I think I'll probably cut the dates down a little bit. I think last year there was just too many dates.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I come up with a smaller number and then not as many in the summer, just because nobody was there in the summer.
When did you start them again? Was it in the early in the year or later in the year?
I think I started them in like the first week of April.
Okay.
Because I had to wait until the thaw. I've got this person from Exeter. He's pretty sure that I can fill two up there. So I would probably do private ones just for that camera club.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, he wants me to do them as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So I got to sit down and figure out when the earliest I can do without people freezing their fingers off, without having a model that'll freeze.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of, I think I need to kick the price up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that I know that the model's getting reimbursed.
Right. Right.
And I think, you know, I mean, it's, for what I was charging last year and the year before, that's a pretty damn good value for 8 hours of you know, it's a low number of actual attendees. So the cost ratio is pretty low as far as, so I think I'd like to kick it up a little bit more, just so that I can, you know, it's easier to pay the rent.
Yep.
You know, people don't like to hear that, but
well, that's true.
You got to pay the rent.
Yeah. I really need to put together my business plan too for the year.
Yeah,
figure out what it is. I mean, there's basically three things I offer. I figured, like, I just sat down one day and said, like, you know, this is what I'm really doing. I'm doing high end interactive for museums. I'm doing website development for very small businesses for local people.
So, are you still hanging your shingle out for doing that?
Yeah, but I think the conditions for that are it has to be someone local and it has to be someone who's a sole proprietor. Or, you know, maybe married partners or an entrepreneur or artists. People who basically need very simple website presences.
Okay.
And just want to get up and running and control and own the means of having their website.
Right.
I'm not interested in tying people up in a monthly maintenance fee or anything like that.
Right.
You know, so that's something I just do. That's the being part of things that are bigger than myself aspect of the plan. That's just good for me. It's just good for me to be involved with, like, in helping people, you know, get going the way that I'm trying to get going.
Right.
They have a little bit of knowledge about this and a whole lot of technical background, and a lot of the stuff comes fairly easily to me now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're not doing anything that's supposed to be groundbreaking or, you know, like the next big thing.
Right.
You need a website. You need to put it on. Need to buy hosting. you need to know what the stuff means. I'll be glad to sit with you for a couple of hours and set it up for you. And that's really, when it comes down to design, it gets a little bit more personal. So I'm thinking of taking the design out of it and saying, like, go with these pre-existing templates and use photography. I know a good photographer you could use to shoot headshots of yourself and
put plug
your stuff there, you know? So I'm willing to do it on that level, but I'm not interested in running a boutique web design agency. That's a lot more client handholding, and you know, kind of like you, it takes away from what I want to do, which is be doing writing and creating things.
Yep.
But anyway, back to what I'm offering. The high interactive stuff, I actually do enjoy doing it with the right people. So there's a small handful of companies that I'll continue to do that with.
Okay.
And then the third thing is I kind of got suckered into doing this web development stuff for WordPress, because I'm running WordPress now and I already had to maintain it. And then I was talking to this guy and he found me somehow and I said, like, do you do this kind of work? I said, no, not really. You should find someone who really knows how to do this or focuses on it.
Yeah.
But I'll help you out. Just get you through this. And he liked working with me. He says, like, man, said, do you want to do more development work? I'm thinking, no, not really, but it's money that's coming in, and it's stuff that I can do. And so, and then we did some stuff, and I was actually kind of surprised that I actually enjoyed figuring out some of these things. And so developing those kind of relationships might actually work out, because, again, it's stuff that I know how to do. It's not particularly, like, it's not bleeding-edge stuff, you know, like it is, like, where I'm used to working. And in that sense, it doesn't take up all of my attention.
Yeah.
The high-end interactive tends to, but if you're working with a good team, then at least you don't have the friction of management that's in place.
Yep.
So I'm kind of looking forward to doing more of that and then investigating more of it for myself, because those skills translate directly to what I really want to do, which is to be making original products, which is to be making things that are novel and interesting, but on a scale that I can handle, almost like an artisanal software developer or an artisanal product designer.
Okay.
So those kind of things. So anything that I can make and put on Amazon and sell through Amazon fulfillment, that would be pretty cool. And doing it with some style and panache, that would be great.
Nice.
Also want to get a steampunk hat.
And a steampunk.
Awesome. Where can I get one?
Etsy? I don't know.
But how do you know if it fits or not, or if you don't look stupid? This is a problem, because hats don't get along with me. You seem to have a good relationship with hats. They don't really work for me.
No.
Like, I like that bonnet you're wearing.
That's my winter hat.
Is that your winter hat?
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's just a winter hat with a little brim on it.
Yeah.
I think they call them a Jeep hat.
Really?
Yeah. That's what Radar used to wear in MASH all the time.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah. And I think a lot of skater dudes wear them nowadays. I think, like, they've become in style with skaters.
Somehow you've drained all the skater boy out of it, though.
I just like the brim part.
It needs a daisy in it.
Yeah, and I needed a new cut. Like, I was wearing just a regular green winter hat, but then I got a green coat for Christmas, so I'm like, I can't have green on top of green. Something that's a little more earthy, so now I have the... Sarah thinks it's funny because it's like if I wear cargo pants, like usually I wear tan cargo pants and I have my green jacket on and then I have this. She's like, it totally looks like you're in the military. And she's like, it looks like you're like in World War II. And I'm like, really? So then I'm like all Call of Duty. I'm like, oh. It's pretty funny.
It kind of does look like that.
I'm in the army now.
Well, so there goes another 45
look
minutes
at that,
of your
huh?
life.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for sticking around. And
don't forget, there's the Nashua Jelly is on Friday.
Friday.
Tomorrow.
Nashua Jelly tomorrow.
February 4th
from 12 to 5 p.m. at Studio 99. It's, what is it, like $3?
Is it $3?
I think $2, $3. It's a couple of bucks. And that covers her heat and all
electricity,
that.
Rent.
Electricity. So I might try to swing by. And
yeah, I'm definitely going to. I'm going to try to spend the day there. I'll drop off a check at Paper Graphics tomorrow morning.
Nice. Yep. So if you're listening, come by the jelly. Come say hi. Hang out with us.
Yep. I'll probably be there
like
for
that.
The entire time.
And, yeah.
Guess that's it.
And I think we're going to try to get a guest maybe for the next one.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Soon.
Yeah. All right. So? Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. And I'm photographer Sid Caesar.
And I'm Dave Say, designer.
And we will see you later.
Take care.
Bye.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
No, it's not Thanksgiving anymore. What's coming up next? It's like a heart. You gotta make like a heart. What's a heart sound like?